It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter Street. My name is Rodney DeBolsey. I'll be your host for the next hour or so. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting coordinator, savant, if you will, at UGASports.com. He's our head recruiting guy. And we're also, of course, joined each week by former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan, the man who has all the information, the news, the stories, the jokes, usually at our expense, but, you know, that's what you guys pay to see. And if you don't like the show, we will be happy to refund your money. Speaking of money, we want to hit a couple of our sponsors. They're the ones that allow us to do the show, and what that means for you, it is incumbent upon you to patronage our sponsors, if you would. Of course, we're here at Champy's, and you know the beer is wonderful, the food is great. Right now, Josh, the owner here, basically said I was getting fatter than I was, and brought me out a salad, and it's the grilled chicken salad. I've had it before; it is great. You get the salad dressing, and then the sweet heat. I know the sweet heat is one of your favorites.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, and they make all their dressings in-house, which I think is
exactly.
Just a phenomenal touch. You don't have to do it, but it makes all the difference.
Including the Champy sauce, man.
That's right. That's
well, it would be so easy just, you know, to, you can buy them in, what, 5-gallon vats, you know, and
sure.
Just dump it out on someone. But no, everything here is top shelf. So speaking of top shelf, they're redoing their bar, so swing by here. And if you come into the bar right now, you can pick up a little hit of our newest sponsor, a shout-out to Academia.
Yes.
They saw some of the ads we're doing, and they're going to jump on as a sponsor here shortly. Need to go out and meet with those guys. I know I'm going out there again because I love to eat, and I love good beer. They have wonderful beers. They even had a good meat out there that was phenomenal. But right now –
it'd be a good place to watch the tournament, too.
I didn't even think about that. So right now we only have the ESB because he is sold out of the IQ IPA.
Yeah.
The high IQ.
Well,
so that just gives
this is not a bad replacement.
Well, this is my favorite. I like this more than I'm not a big hoppy guy like you are, but this is phenomenal. So it's obviously selling well. They've sold out here. They got to get a couple more kegs over here. So point being, swing up by Academia. It's phenomenal food. Great place to watch it. Easy location. Lots of parking. It's right there behind. The
racetrack
on Atlanta Highway, very close to the mall. You'll see their big black bus out front, you know, with Academia on the side. And if anything, you know, you say, hey, you know, let's go to Academia. It sounds good. You know, it sounds like you're
you're going to study.
You're a lot smarter when you leave, right?
Yeah, you'll be definitely smarter. Of course, I want to give a big shout out to Athens Ford. Later in the show, I'm going to tell you about some of the deals they have, but the reason I want to bring them up right off the bat, next week we're going to try to do our show out at Athens Ford simply because some of the March deals they have are phenomenal. So I want you to, you can come out and join us at Athens Ford. Athens Ford is the only place where, when I was going through their inventory the other day, every car they had up there said, you know, buy it with the lifetime powertrain warranty, you know. Nobody else does that. And that was funny. I was clicking on some other Ford dealers, and I didn't see that. So I'm like, no, this isn't a Ford thing. This is an Athens Ford thing. So be sure to swing by Athens Ford. Huge Georgia fans out there. And they have a fantastic fleet of vehicles. I mean, I must say, I was kind of – okay, I'll admit it. I was shopping. I was poking around. I'm like, what you got over here, you know? So we're going to try to do next week's show over there. Next week's show will also be prior to the first day of spring practice. So now Coach Donnan has some team stuff he's going to talk to us about. You know, he hears things now and then, and he's got some stuff about the off season. And, I mean, technically it's all the off season until, you know, September.
Off season's over now. We're ready.
Yeah.
Our spring practice starts a week from today.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, to me, that is what I call the off season. To me, spring practice is the season. I mean, you're getting ready for it. And then the summer is considered the off-season as well. But once you have spring practice started,
it's all on.
It's on. Because, I mean, there are position battles that are being fought. There are fundamentals that are being taught. There's not a whole lot of game plan being inserted, stuff like that. But you know what you did well last year. You continue doing that. You know what you need to work on from last year. You fix that. So there'll be a lot going on that. And we will discuss some of that today, but a lot of it also next week out at Athens Ford. I hope you join us out there Tuesday at noon. If you need a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, Athens Ford is the place to go. I don't say just say that because they sponsor it. I do believe
so
in
them. So you're going to give away a new Ford out there?
I wish. I got to get rid of my 18-year-old truck first.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, just because it doesn't have air? You make you ride in the back?
I'm sorry. I'm used to such luxuries.
While we're talking sponsors, a big day coming up for Your Pie. They are one of our premier sponsors. They've been sponsoring UGA Sports where we work since like 2007. So Drew French and those guys are fantastic. Tomorrow, is it right? That's 314?
Yeah, yep.
Tomorrow is Pie Day, 3.14. All of the pizzas at all the EuroPie locations are $3.14. That's less than or more than half off their pizzas. It's the best pizza you can get. It's an unreal experience to go out there and have one of those pizzas on Pie Day. So get out there early or maybe swing by late after some of the hubbub has died down. But EuroPie, any of their locations, I have been known to swing by one location in the morning. Another location in the lunch to get a sandwich.
You can't let them see you at the same one twice. Same day, anyway.
The fat guy's back. I have to go in. And I wear the little...
hide the pepperonis.
The mask. I mean, the glasses with the fake mustache, you know, over my crappy mustache. So it's great. So swing by Your Pie tomorrow. It's a huge day for them. They've been gearing up for this for months. It's an insane day out there. I want to give a shout-out to Robert Wall and Cable East. They're huge sponsors of our show as well. Great folks out there. Nothing you can buy from them, but if you see Robert Wall out on the golf course or you see him in business or he's doing one of his charity events, be sure to sign up for this charity event because the guy he's just a giver. And, of course, we also want to thank 365 Game Day.
So, oh, of course.
You know, if you need gear, swing by 365 Game Day. I'm going to jump on this beer a little bit. that's good.
Plenty to talk about today, yeah. I guess. I guess we'll lead off with something that we don't normally start with, yeah. Which is hoops.
Yeah, we have to. And, I mean, things could change in the middle of this broadcast. This is where it is. So if you're listening to this on – I know a lot of people listen to this show on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday when they're driving someplace or at the gym or whatever. Well, maybe not at the gym. If you do, if things have changed, we apologize. But where it stands right now, for those of you who are watching on the 11 Live Facebook page –
this is as of 12:10, yeah. March 13th.
And while you're on this 11 Live Facebook page, I mean, if it weren't for 11 Live, we wouldn't be doing the show. So shout out
for the share.
Yeah. Oh, we got to hit the share. If you're on the page right now, hit the little share button on this podcast. This is the last week. I'm not letting you hang on to those. We have some game-worn Georgia gloves. We're going to give these away to anyone who shared our show in the last 3 weeks or this week. So a four-week span, we're putting all those names in a hat. Well, technically, we're putting it into a computer program. It gives us a random number generator, and that lets you know who won the game-worn Rose Bowl gloves. These were worn in the Rose Bowl that Georgia won in dramatic fashion, probably the most exciting game I've seen in many, many years. You know, part of Sony Michel's walk-off touchdown.
Absolutely, and you can tell that they're used. They got some they got some rough around the edges there.
They're an extra extra large, so I believe they were used by a particular lineman. I will tell the person who wins them who I think it was, but I can't guarantee it because it's not written on them. But they were out of the locker room. A trainer gave them to me for my son. My son already had a pair, and they're way too big.
Must
for
be
him.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's like, Dad, I like those, but you might want to give them somebody else. So shout out to Ollie Nabulsi for being a generous young man. And turning down the gift, I got a gift, you know. I didn't want to spend money out there.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, thanks to 11 Live for letting us be on their page. Go ahead and share it, and you can be in the winning, in the drawing for the gloves. Also, like the page. I know later this evening I will be on 11 Live talking about the coaching search, and here's where it stands right now. We have confirmed that Thad Matta was in town yesterday. The very famous Ohio State coach, you know, a huge name in basketball circles, a guy with a ridiculous winning percentage, who would be a huge home run hire for University of Georgia Bulldogs.
Really anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Mata's got the kind of resume that would shake up pretty much any program.
Yeah, so, I mean, a major talent. He was in Athens yesterday. Anthony Dasher confirmed it. He had the news. We knew he was coming. We were able to break that news that he was going to meet with Georgia. The way it stands for what we understand now, an offer has been made, and they're waiting on his acceptance of that offer. We've heard from a source that he's going to take it. This is not one of our premier sources. This is not somebody that we run with, you know. And that's not to say that – in other words, we need a lot more confirmation than just that. I think it looks good. Georgia has a lot of other options. You know, I know Tom Crean would like the job. I'm sure that he's been contacted, and You know, they, Georgia, again, another huge name. If Georgia doesn't get Thad Matta, then maybe they get creamed. And there's a lot of other guys out there. But, in other words, I thought that Georgia might have a little trouble finding someone for this job, not because of, you know, coaching basketball at the University of Georgia, but with all the other FBI stuff that's going on. A lot of schools I thought were, you know, I thought there'd be more turnover and that some of the bigger names out there, Coach, would be bigger basketball schools might snap up the Tom Crean's and Thad Matta's of the world. But as it stands now, I like Georgia's chances. What have you been hearing?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really in on that scene like I am in football. Not that I'm in on that either. But I do know this, that first of all, I want to say how much I appreciate what Coach Fox did for the program. I had a chance to interact with him a lot with his son was the same age as my grandson, his daughter the same age as my granddaughter, so I saw him at a lot of events. He always treated me with a lot of respect, and, you know, it's just one of those deals. I mean, it happens. I mean, it gets to be a point where, you know, you got to deliver, and it didn't work out as good as we hoped it would for him this year, and, you know, there was a change made. But just looking at it from my standpoint, if I'm out there watching it, the first thing you got to be glad that Georgia was in a position to make a quick move if they did and they had this guy ready to go. I don't think a guy would be coming to our campus with his daughter who is either a rising senior or a senior in high school coming to look at George about how she would like to come to school unless he was really serious about it. I mean, how many times do you ever see a guy coming on the first interview to a place with his daughter? So from my standpoint, they either talked to him on the phone or something, and then he came over here. Or I wouldn't think this was the first time he talked to him. Now, don't quote me on that, but I just think from a symbolism, it just seems pretty good that, you know, hey, I'm really interested in this job. You're my daughter. I'd like for you to go over and look at it, and, you know, hey, it'd be a good family situation if you come to school with us too, you know. So that in itself is a pretty vivid look to me that his daughter was here. But at the same time, like you mentioned, there's certainly got to be some back and forth. The one thing that I would say in the coaching search situation now, there's not as much transparency in most situations as there is in this one. And I give you guys a lot of credit. I mean, not many people would know all the things that are happening around here, and you got a lot of people trying to get that info from other sources too. So for a guy to be here and have his picture taken at the airport on the first day after another guy's been replaced is pretty big, I think.
And to your point, our sources have told us that – I won't say this is exactly – it has been in the works a long time because I don't want to, you know, say that, you know, they'd already made up their mind on Fox and they were going behind his back talking to the coaches. But I think that
they had a name in mind, obviously.
Well, and Greg says, you know, look, my job as a, you know, athletic director is to have a list of names. He mentioned that when when Mark Richt resigned or however they want to do it. But he said, look, you know, that's your job. You have to have a list of names and you have to update it. You have to know who's available. And I think the fact that they were able to move so fast and have Thad Matta in town on a Monday, you know, that tells, you know what, 24, 48 hours after you've let go of the coach, tells me that they were moving quickly. Now, granted, they're using
there's a lot of people do that stuff behind the scenes. There's no question about that. But I do feel like you make a good point there, him being here. And the only thing that I can say is that that usually when something happens to when a job opens up, and I'm sure with your cohorts at other rivals, people on the, you know, they'll tell you about somebody. But in the last 24 hours, I've gotten a text from Urban Meyer, Kirk Herbstreit, and Reese Davis all saying what a great guy this guy is.
Well,
now I'm going to just tell you, to me, these are friends of mine.
Yeah, I
know. But they have interaction. Obviously, Herbie went to school there. He's got vivid situation there, Coach Meyer, you know, and I'm sure Coach Meyer shared that same thing with Greg McGarrity, having been a coach with McGarity down there. And then, of course, Reese has a chance to see these guys on the back burner all the time.
Yeah.
He was a big Mark Fox guy. He actually came to the cancer thing that Coach Fox had and was the MC of it. And he like me, he wanted him to stay if there's any way. But he is really high on this guy. And I'm going to tell you, when those three guys hit me like that, hey, I'm in the bucket for him, you know?
Sure.
And I would think the fans would like to know stuff like that, too.
Well, absolutely. I didn't know that they did that, so that's news to me. That's great.
Yeah,
to,
absolutely.
I mean, those are some heavy hitters in the punditry world, if you will. Plus, you know, I mean, Urban Meyer, a legendary coach. So, you know, they were together. They got to know each other. Now, here's the thing. They weren't exactly close up there when they started out, but neither was Fox and Mark Richt. I mean, these are coaches who were focused on their field. You know, it's like the coach is always nice, you know.
Just verify this. I want to make sure that you guys
believe the old coach.
Yeah, I mean, right here.
You're rock solid,
I mean,
coach.
When the guy's right there with
it. Oh, wow.
You haven't lied to us yet.
There
so.
You go.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't, but I'm not name dropping. I'm just saying for the Georgia fans that really are into it, I think that's one of the best things. And I'm sure these people wouldn't mind me sharing that. But I just feel like that, to me, when people like that unsolicited hit you up, it's not like they're trying to get him the job. He's doing that on his own. They're just saying that would be great for Georgia. And I think the other thing that's really vivid here, and I lived it firsthand because I was a football coach here, but a guy's got to be understanding of the fact that football is king, but you can do it in basketball. You just got to work around it and utilize the resources, and he was able to do that at Ohio State.
That's definitely.
With Jim Tressel there and then Urban Meyer. So he's been around that situation that he would have to be with Kirby in this situation here.
That was the point I was going to make, simply because, like I said, I was told about a golf tournament where Urban was at and Thad Mata was at, and they didn't really know each other, and their respective SIDs are having explained who the other guy is. That's how it starts out when you first meet a guy. And, you know, they're very focused on their sports and their teams. They don't have time for a lot of outside stuff. But Thad became a integral part of the Ohio State culture. He understands what he's getting into, just like you were saying. He understands that I'm going to a traditionally big football school, but if I win there, all that football and loyalty will transfer when the football season's over. Come January, February, March, I'm going to have all those crazies packing you know, the Coliseum there. We saw that when Georgia's been on runs in the past. There are a lot of people who were – I mean, our threads on the board are getting an unreal number of views on people who want the absolute latest on this coaching search, and we're doing the best we can to give it to them. The point being – the Georgia folks are starved for a winner in basketball because, like we talk about during the offseason, okay, you've played the last bowl game. You know you're not going to see these guys on the practice field for 3 months. What is there to look at now? Georgia fans love Georgia.
Sure.
They support Georgia gymnastics. They support the – hey, shout out to the women's track team for national championship.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, they're supporting Joni Taylor. I guarantee you that, you know, Joni Taylor and her women's basketball team are going to host the first couple rounds of the –
got a bad draw, though, man. I mean, hopefully we win the first two games, you know, beat Mercer, beat Duke if Duke wins, but then we got to play UConn the next round.
But that's rough.
Hey, South Carolina's got the same situation.
To be the man, you got to beat the
man. That's right.
Or the woman, I guess, in this situation.
You know, last year they were not even in the tournament, so Joni's doing a good job. I think,
and we're seeing
just like anything, she's, you know, growing with the job, and they just got to recruit. That's the name of the game. Our women's tennis is doing well. Baseball's up in the air a little bit. You know, had some good wins. But and then men's tennis had a great win last week over Ohio State. Dave up there was up there sharing it with me. That was just a big win. Then we had a tough loss to A&M. But I'm just saying that there's I lived it at Oklahoma with Billy Tubbs, the coach out there, when he and Switzer were sharing the limelight. And that's an obvious tough limelight with Barry Switzer. But but they got to the final dance. I mean, they got to the last game and lost to Danny Manning, you know, in 88. And we just – played for the national championship in football. But I just think it's there for them. The facilities are enhanced now. You know, we got that
practice facility. Well, it can be done. like you said, you got the fantastic facility, you got great locker rooms, all that stuff over there. The mindset of the University of Georgia has changed. At this point, if you'd asked me the same thing 4 years ago, does Georgia have a chance with Thad Matta or Tom Crean or any of these other names, you know, Greg Marshall, guys like that, I'd be like, no, not a chance. They won't pay enough. I don't think that's going to be an issue this time around. And the Georgia fans are hungry for a winner. And if you give, we talk about Thad Matta. We just said he's an Ohio State coach. If you would give them, the folks, a little idea of what he was capable of doing at Ohio State, and imagine some of this.
Okay, so
50% of this happening at Georgia.
I am referencing Wikipedia here, just so you know that I'm using verified sources.
He's in the tournament. He won the Big Ten 10 times between between the regular season and the tournament.
Yes, he did. Two NCAA region championships, Final Four in 07 and 12, four-time Big Ten tournament championship, 07, 10, 11, and 13, five-time regular season champion, 06, 07, 10, 11, 12. He's won the Atlantic 10. He won the Horizon League when he was a coach there.
So point me, what's lifetime winning percentage?
His lifetime winning percentage, he's 439 and 154 for a career winning percentage of 74% overall.
So 74%, that's nothing to shake a stick at. Get a guy like that at Georgia, and again, I'm not going to guarantee that Stegman Coliseum will be packed because, you know, you still got to win to bring him in, but there has been a dearth of excitement around this program, and the Georgia fans, my bigger point was they want to back a winner, and they want that excitement. And to me, people say, well, you can't do it because it's a football school. I'm like, look, if you pay the coach and bring him in, you know, hey, it worked at Oklahoma, it worked at Ohio State, it worked at Florida. Look at what Billy Donovan was able to do.
The exact opposite here. There. I mean, at North Carolina, we were fighting the basketball there when Bill Dooley went, and we were able to turn it around, you know. But, I just think that having been here, the resources are here, the support is here. And I remember in 2007 going over there to watch that game with Ohio State played Florida. And I was at a speaking engagement with these people, and we had to, you know, it was a meet and greet type deal, and we had to go over there and go through security, and Dominique was with us, and there was a line out there, I mean, all the way out of the dome. You can't believe how far it was out. But Dominique just took charge and walked us right in, man. I was impressed with that. they parted the seas for old Dominique, and maybe he could come back. And I was glad to see Coach Durham, make some good statements about Thad Matta yesterday, and you know he's like me, you know, he likes Georgia, he likes the program, and Hugh Durham, one of the most competitive guys I've ever been around. I was at Florida State when he was there, and we used to play racquetball and badminton, and the guy would, I mean, he wanted to win.
He would cheat, is what you're saying?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. He didn't have to cheat, but he was. The only reason I could keep up with him was because I had some tennis skills, but. Yeah. He was a good guy. Kind of interesting how our paths crossed, though. You know, we were both there, and then he ends up here, and then I get here, and he's already out. But he was always nice to me here, too. But just incredible supporter. And, you know, word of mouth's good, though. I like it when, you know, other coaches in the sport are high on the guy, you know.
Well, and I got to say, too, I think for Georgia fans, you mentioned the excitement around this program, Roddy, and I think that part of that is spurred by the fact you've seen South Carolina hire Frank Martin, Final Four. Yeah. Auburn hires Bruce Pearl. He's at least a fan favorite. I mean, they love
he's
what he's bringing.
Coach.
He's a great coach.
Tennessee
in the SEC championship earlier this week.
Allen at Mississippi State.
Absolutely. You know, Rick Barnes there. They've seen these splash hires work out, and it's paid big dividends for these schools. It's worth the investment. You're seeing the fruits of what you're paying these guys. And I think that Georgia fans believe, hey, why not us? Why can't we do that?
To look at it from a business standpoint, if you're Coca-Cola, you sell soda, right? And then you see everybody's buying water. And you go, wait a minute, why can't we bottle our own water? Why can't we buy a water company? And they go out and buy one, and then water becomes one of their biggest sellers.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a football school. We get it. But you know what? You have, to the coach's point, you have ridiculous facilities. You have a ridiculous fan base. You got enough money to hire whoever you want, you know. Spend it. Go get him. And then.
And you got the guy that's got a $9 million set off, too. It's not like he's got to be able to come in here and negotiate. I mean, he got paid $9 million this summer when they brought the other guy in. So anything that he gets is going to be taken off of that. So it's not like you got to do a lot of negotiating. It's just a question of what does this guy want to do with his life, his career? He got, you know, this is going to be a big deal for him. I mean, this is his second time around, and, you know, what's going to happen with it?
But, now, one of the questions that came up, and this was from the Ohio State side. We have some sources up there. One of my good friends up there said, hey, I don't think that might be a good fit at Georgia. I worry about his ability to recruit in that area. And I'm like, okay, well, you know him. I don't. But then I spoke to Dan McDonald, our basketball guy. And Dan, to use the word scoffed would be the polite way of putting it, but Dan's like, no, Roddy. And my point was, okay, you come to Georgia, you're the head coach of Georgia, you go to these high schools, you meet with these kids who are in Georgia, just – you already have a connection right there. But Dan started going through the list of guys that Thad had pulled out of the Southeast, and it was quite an impressive list. So
if
I don't
you can recruit, you can recruit. I don't.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think that's way overblown. Although you got to there's no question you've got to make an imprint in the AAU situation over there. I mean, I remember talking to Jim Herrick about it when he first got here. You know, that was one of his real big deals there, was to get in there and get the confidence of the AAU coaches. And to some extent, we got some of that here with previous staff and Coach Fox and Jonas and those. But there's no place, unless you just went out to Los Angeles or maybe – there's no place that you can go and be 50 miles from this many players.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't like you need 25 every year like football. You just need two or three. And so we were close this year. I mean, look at some of those freshmen, the way they played in the tournament. I mean, I watched every game, and I was so hoping that we were able to look a little tired in that last game and just couldn't.
You bring in Thad Matta, you might be able to get Andrew Hagans back, a five-star guard, a point guard, who plays – I mean, the kid – is magic with the basketball.
Yeah, that's what
you
said.
I just blew my mind watching this kid pass the ball around. I mean, I'm like, it's like watching Magic Johnson. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. The kid is special. You know, maybe you solidify Elias King, you know.
There's some great players in this 19 class that's coming up as well.
And to your point, you know, Coach Fox, who – again, when he came in and Mark Richt, they were kind of, I won't say opposite, but they were focused on their thing. But then Mark Fox said, you know, look, I can – he came out and became a big Georgia supporter, and so we want to give him, you know, a shout-out for all the support that he's given the program, and he gave it 9 years of his life and tried his damn best. But when it comes to recruiting, a guy who was a known to be an average recruiter, as his tenure built, got better and better. And this – right before, you know, the seat became hot, he had a five-star commit and a guy in the top 40. First time Georgia had ever had that. Now, maybe you get those guys back with a Thad Matta hire. Maybe you don't. We don't know. But to your point, if you can recruit there, I mean, if you don't have the connection in the state, then you go to the Atlanta Celtics and you meet the AAU coach there. Hey, I'm the new coach at the University of Georgia. You might know me from my Final Fours. You go to ATL Hoops, you know, and where Elias King is. Hey, Coach, you know, I'm sure he probably knows them already. In other words, you're going to know who the top AAU guys are already. But if not, you're like, hey, I'm the new coach at the University of Georgia. I'd like to talk to you about Elias King.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, again, not having a pre-existing relationship, yeah, that can kind of hurt you. But you can build a new one. Plus, when you say, look, this is what we're doing at Georgia. Here's the new excitement. Here's the new facilities. This is what your kid can do. And I think that Georgia will see an influx of that same excitement from recruits that you saw when Kirby Smart took over.
The difference is – and the analogy you just brought up saying Kirby is these guys want to come here. They've committed here, but now because of the uncertainty, they've decommitted. But maybe it's not like you're having to start over far as getting to know the school. You know what's here. The big deal is building up some kind of relationship with the family and the trust, just like Kirby had to do with Eason. Kirby had to do with so many of those guys that were committed here in his first class, and that really was symbolic because he held it together. And I think this can happen here with whoever the coach might be. But I just feel like, again, that it's a situation where so much out there as far as a lot of people wanting to know what's going to happen, all that. But I would say this, and I used to tell recruits this, if you're going to go out and buy a car or a truck – certainly you're going to look at Athens Ford first, but you're also going to look around and make some comparisons. And the same thing's true when you're looking at a college. Hey, all we'll do is reinforce our place if you come here and look at us, but maybe it'd be good for you to check somebody. Maybe Mata is comparing us to Ole Miss or comparing us to Pitt. I don't know what he's doing, but I think it's good that, you know, we probably got some people that we're looking at too. So it's just not a situation where you can just say, hey, it's a cinch right here about what's going to happen. But to me, every deal is based on two things, a transfer of benefits. How does it benefit you, the school? How does it benefit him? If it you can make that happy medium, that's going to be a good situation.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Speaking of Athens Ford, I want to hit a couple of those deals you mentioned.
Yes.
That was a good segue, wasn't it?
It was. I appreciate you dropping that for me. If you go out to Athens Ford during the month of March, they have the F-150 XLT for $14,000 off. I've seen those XLTs. Those are fantastic trucks. You can also get it, if you want to lease one, $369. Again,
wow.
That's because it's truck month. That's the only reason you get $14,000 off. So, Ford,
this is truck month?
This is truck month. So that's the reason you get it. If you need a Ford Focus or a Fusion Special Edition, you can release those for $199. Now, we drove that Fusion. That was one of our rentals, and
yes.
I'll tell you, that is a heck of a vehicle there. For somebody like Josh and maybe needs a Super Duty, that is $12,000 off, so that's good. The Explorer, which is kind of what I was keeping my eye on out there, the Explorer XLT is $7,500 off, or you can get it for $399 lease. Again, two leases under $400 for the Ford F-150 or the Explorer or the Fusion or the Focus, under $200 for a lease, $199. So you can't beat that. And I like this, the Ford Escape. All models are either $6,000 off or 0% financing for 60 months. So
outstanding.
$6,000 off or 0% for 60 months. I mean, if you haven't seen the Escape, it's kind of that midsize. I like it. That's what my wife needs.
Yeah.
You know, that's about the perfect size car for her. So swing out there. I know last month they had crazy deals. I thought, well, you know, February will be it. We're going to have a hard time pushing the deals for March. I was wrong.
Truck month, man.
Yeah, truck month. So swing out to Athens Ford and hit them up. And, again, we're going to try to do next week's show out at Athens Ford. Maybe we'll do it from the back of one of those XLTs. But there's got room there.
Hey, I like that. I like
hey,
that.
Make sure what the weather is, man. I can't say it. Oh. You know, I'm old.
You're sensitive these
please,
days,
please.
Huh?
I'm serious, man. I
well, we'll do it inside.
If it's over 50, I love it. But it's under 50, not
well,
great, but it's under 40.
I'm
going to
see if
history.
We can do it in front of the owner out there has a – he's big into sprucing up a couple vehicles. So hopefully we got a nice surprise for you out there. So
yeah, let's put it
maybe,
out there.
Maybe something called Excalibur. We'll see.
I like that.
Let's hit some of these questions real quick.
All right. Got a couple of comments rolling in, actually, talking about the coaching search, which is pretty interesting. One here from Jim Mansour. He says, not just hoops, but UGA fan base supported baseball in the 2000s when the Diamond Dogs went to Omaha four times in 8 years. We can do that in sports besides football.
Thank you,
that's
Jim.
A great example.
That was my point.
Who said that?
Jim Mansour.
Hey, that's a good job, Jim. Hey, it's your school. I mean, I don't care what the team is. Just like people gripe about the schedule sometimes, you go to see Georgia play.
Exactly.
Well, and that was my point. I said Georgia fans are fans of Georgia. It sounds stupid, but they're not just Georgia football fans. Yes, there is that part of the populace that doesn't care about anything besides football. I get it. But almost all your alumni, even your sidewalk alumni, those are folks who, if Georgia's doing well in baseball, they will turn on the SEC network and watch them play Florida, and they will root against the Gators as if they'd stole their, you know, house or something.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And you give them something to root for. Right now, everyone's filling out their brackets. Jump into the UGA Sports Bracket Challenge. You can win some money. Or
Roddy's money.
How much can you win?
$100. Or you can win a year or 6 months free at UGA Sports, which is worth $120.
We have the best, whoever picks the winner,
picks the best bracket. Yeah, so just go to the UGA. It's
how
on
many
Yahoo
did you have
Sports.
Last year?
Hundreds and hundreds.
Hey, are we eligible to be in it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm interested to see Donnan's bracket.
You're welcome to get second place because I'm winning this thing. I'm not giving away my money. I'm going to win it.
All right.
So point being, the Georgia fans, when they're filling out these brackets, they would love to, you know, move Georgia up a couple spots, you know, and say, hey, okay, they got they're taking on UNC again. You know, they're going to win. They're going to beat them. You know, whatever. But the point being, Georgia fans will get behind it, and Jim nails it. Two of the greatest experiences I've had covering Georgia sports. I've been doing it 25 years.
Notre Dame and
no,
going out there.
No, no. Those don't even register.
All right, Notre Dame and Rose Bowl, neither one?
No, those were fantastic.
What were they?
Neither of those. Maybe the Rose Bowl. Covering Georgia in the NCAA tournament in tennis when they won a national title on court three when all hell broke
loose. Everybody's hanging off the light poles.
Yeah, covering women's tennis in a final championship. And Angela Lotier and all those big phenomenal. Covering some of the national championships Georgia's had in gymnastics. You know, watching some of the stuff there. But Georgia in a super regional against the FSU and College of Charleston and watching all these people in the on the Kudzu Hill singing along because they won't let you do music. You can't have your walk-up music during the NCAA tournament because it's supposed to be unbiased, no home stuff. And the guys up on the Kudzu Hill at the greenhouse, they rented speakers and they're playing each guy's walk-up music from outside, all the fans singing along. Again, non-Georgia football events that were just transcendent that I'll remember till my dying day. Georgia fans love stuff like that. They will
get
behind
it. I mean, it's awesome town.
You know, going with the women out to the Final Fours, you know. So, point being, people love it. They love the program, and I think it'll happen.
We got another one here from Ian McGraw. This is an interesting hypothetical. I'm going to assume for him that he's asking about Mata here. He says, with Mata, can the Dogs break back into March Madness within 3 years?
Yeah.
I think so. I think they've got a good core of young guys.
You see who they got on the side of them? Let Tyree Crump play a little bit and maybe he could score.
Well, you know, you just look at Tennessee. This is third year for that guy, isn't it? I mean, Frank Martin did it fairly quickly. It's not like
– Bruce Pearls did it quick.
Yeah, it's not like our cupboard is bare here. I mean, we got some good players. And, I think that's a good hypothetical situation. But the one thing you've seen with a lot of turnarounds in basketball is you get – one or two premier players to go with a good squad, and then that happens.
Absolutely.
What else we got here?
Well, we've got a few football questions
I think we've been more than half.
Yeah, we could probably killing the old coach over here.
All right, we'll switch gears. Hey, we'll call this as Academia is our new sponsor. We'll call this the Academia Football Report.
There we go. Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown. I wonder if that's Ronnie that played for.
I don't think so.
Played for Auburn. I mean.
He looks like he may be not related. Ronnie asks, so what's the latest on Owen Papo with a decision coming soon? That's May 5th. If you didn't see that last night, came across Twitter. Chad Simmons has an update over at UGASports.com just confirming that. It's I will say things are looking good, I think, for Georgia.
Well, go back to his Chad Simmons's story.
They can't see that. They can't hear that.
Yeah, the coach has got double thumbs up going right now. The story from 1 week ago that Chad Simmons had, and then, of course, everyone copied him. But he had Owen Papo, the number 21 player in the nation, the nation's number one outside linebacker. I don't think he plays outside. But
he's going to be a strictly inside guy, I think.
I think he needs to be a safety, but that's
lands.
Just me. But it'll be an inside linebacker. The number 21 player in the nation, a guy who's very likely to attain five-star status after we see him at a couple camps, named Georgia's leader, so Georgia's number one.
Yep.
And I have a decision coming soon. That was a week ago today. And then all of a sudden, last night he tweets out, hey, I'm going to be announcing May 5th. So
Cinco de Mayo.
There you go.
So the other teams to watch out for, they're Clemson, Tennessee. Auburn has made a big push recently. Those are kind of the main ones, I think. Those are your main competitors. But
usual suspects.
I do feel good. I do feel like the double thumbs up is
James
merited.
James Brown, man.
He's come out and, you know, named Georgia as leader. He subsequently come out the next week, says, I'm ready to make a decision. I'll be making it on this day. So all signs pointing to good for Georgia. Huge pickup for them if they do get Papa's commitment. He is a tremendous player. We've talked about him a lot on here. A kid who started getting recruited when he was in eighth grade under the previous staff. Everybody's been on him since then. I mean,
actually went out to the opening when he's going into 10th grade out there in Oregon.
Absolutely. And, so a real huge pickup if they're able to land Pat.
To me, a tremendous indication of Kirby Smart taking over, proving they can win here, and Mel Tucker's defense, and seeing how a guy like Roquan Smith went from being a really good player, which he probably would have developed under anybody, but to winning the Buckus Award. I mean, this is the same kind of athlete, you know, that you're looking at that can I don't want to put any extra pressure on him, but, you know, the thing that you talk about, if you're recruiting Zeus, you know, as running back, hey, look at this history of Georgia. Look who we've got here. Look who's played running back, blah, blah, blah. And then the same thing with Papo. Hey, look, we got a guy that just won the Buckus Award, and we feel like you can come in right in and jump right in and play that position. You know, 35 miles from your house, your parents get to watch you play. And I know when we were first starting to talk about him a couple years ago, he had his head in way a lot of different places. Yep. You know, I was reading some of the stories that were –
he was an FSU lock.
I said, I hope we can get this guy, you know. But I just feel like our chances on him are stronger than Ajax.
I really do like Georgia there, too. And like you said, the Roquan Smith comparison, it's a tough thing to put on anybody. It may be apt here. Very similarly sized, same speed, a tremendous player.
Well, you got to have guys like that on your defense, though, just difference makers. I mean, one of the things all the fans should do once in a while is get these copies and watch on Huddle or whatever and see the end zone copies. A lot of these schools now have the sideline copy where you watch like you do on television, but they show it from the end zone, and you watch a guy like that just explode inside out and make a play or take on a block. That's just very vivid. I like his style, big fellow. I like his style. Yeah.
Well, you add him to guys like, you know, Nolan Smith, Jaden Hazelwood, Dominic Blaylock, and all of a sudden that class, you know, if you're
– Where do you got him ranked right now? What are we?
Got to be probably number one.
Yes, number one currently.
So you already had the number one class. You could have the number one class again. But to like you said last year about Justin Fields, that kind of bell cow, if you're looking around, you go, well, Georgia's good enough for Justin Fields. It's good enough for me. I'm a top player. Justin's going there. What does he know? Same thing. If you were another top guy, if you're a Rambo Hunter, we have a Rambo Hunter update each week. If you're looking at it going, wow, they're getting Jaden Hazelwood, Dominic Blaylock, Nolan Smith, you know, Rylan Goh, JT Bertrand. And you look at the guys that had last year, like, they're going to be playing for some titles. I'm going to go there too.
So, you know, that's like a coach would say that used to coach with me. He said, getting a guy like Papo, he said, I would let somebody kick me in the every day if I got to coach a guy like that. That's what I mean, kick you below the belt every day if you could play and coach a guy like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they just don't make a lot
of
I don't know
if I'd go that far. But
hey,
how
do you think Georgia got Roquan Smith?
I will say, too, I think that one of the things about Papo and that we're seeing more and more with these guys getting recruited younger, you know, I know a lot of people don't love it necessarily, but it puts them on a national radar, and it gets them into a situation where they start their training so early now that you're getting a guy who is going to come in with a great skill set under his belt already because he's had immense training from a number of different sources. And I think that that's huge.
He's had some really good coaching, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some guys moved in and out of there that are tremendous high school coaches. You know, the one guy left and went to Clemson. The other guy, you know, coached around here at Prince and now went over there and now is down in Anderson, South Carolina. I mean, he's had some good coaching, and he's played with some really good premier players that are playing around the country, too.
There's no doubt about that.
What else we got here?
Take another Grayson guy, but you mentioned training. Oh, well, go ahead and let's do that question. We'll come back to training because I want to ask you about some offseason stuff.
Okay.
Well, drop that one there.
Tyler Stover, real quick, says, have you guys seen the video of Zamir boxing? Which, if you haven't, I'll show you guys right here.
Is that for his knee?
This is currently. This was yesterday.
Is he going to go against Holyfield?
If you haven't seen this, go look it up. It's on Zamir White's Twitter page. All you got to do is search his name. It's him just going at the heavy bag and looking like Tyson. I mean, just coming at it. Brutal, man.
He wouldn't bite an ear off. He'd just bite your whole damn head.
Seriously, how many teams have two backs like that that could hit a bag like that?
Oh, I know. Not many. Not many.
Hey, I don't think you want to hit Holyfield too much.
I don't think you want to hit DeAndre Swift.
No. He looked good working out there. Was he working out there at his dad's place?
Yeah. Yep, that's he's back in Philly. And
so
that,
that's what he's doing
out.
For spring break. He's working out.
You know, that's great. But, hey, I'd like for you – hey, go eat some Philly – get some Philly subs. Oh, get some steak.
He will.
Relax a little bit, man. It's going to be – a hammer's going to be down here.
Well, then Brian Herrien is kind of scary, too. I mean, that kid, when we saw
good
him
player.
In high school, we're like, wow.
Cook. Yo. How about Cook? Come on.
All right. So we're going to move into –
that's a filthy back.
We're going to move into this coach real quick, talking about the spring practice. Jarvis Hanna, though, has been asking this one. I do think it's a good one. He says, who do you think will make a big impact in this year's spring game on offense and defense? Mine is Justin Fields and Brian Herrien. And on defense, I'm thinking Monty Rice and William Poole, which is a couple of interesting choices, I think.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, a lot of those guys are going to be very vivid. The one thing about spring practice, only 8 contact practices now.
That's right.
And you just very hard to evaluate some of these guys like you will in the summer camp. But I like the way Poole's come along, and certainly Monty Rice to me gives you a guy that really played when he had a chance to play. When we had some guys, you know, being disciplined and all, he came in and took the bull by the horns, and looks like the kind of guy that can really help you. Of course, Justin, there's gonna be more eyes on him than anybody in the history of America. But watch out for old Stetson Bennett now. I'm telling you now, this old boy he'll do a good job in that game. He'll probably play with both teams. You know, you don't want to let
sure.
Jake play all the time. You know, and let you know take a chance on anything happening to him. So he'll probably wear a jersey for both teams and play a little bit on one side and the other. But I'm telling you now. It just makes you feel good. Reminds me of Corey Phillips that we had here, who was just a tremendous kid that wanted to play for Georgia, that came here from, you know, with the idea that, hey, he probably wasn't going to have a shot. But we gave him one. We had some injuries, and he did a good job. But Stetson Bennett, he's got the same kind of arm that Corey had. You know, he got passed for 400-some yards against Kentucky. So he's not quite as big as Corey, but – glad we got him. I mean, it's going to be hard for him to play, I know, but it's good insurance. But I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about a couple red shirts here because I'm going to make the analogy here. My last year, us being able to, when I say us, UGA, being able to red shirt David Green and Sean Jones.
Never heard of them.
2000 was really good for the program because you see what they were able to do. Neither one of them at that point. Sean was still playing a little quarterback, and we were, you know, trying to figure out what to do with him, and probably should have played David. But neither one of them played. The other thing that just makes me feel real good: Isaiah Wilson and Natori Johnson. Neither one played this year. Two King Kong linemen, as far as their size, you know,
yes,
just unbelievable,
absolutely.
big old road grader guys, you know, just can knock you off the ball in high school, but had to learn and adjust. Natori got a little late start. You know, Isaiah was here and did some good stuff. But I just hear so many good things about the way Isaiah has worked with his body, what he's been able to do, just really doing a great job in off season. And had a tremendous attitude after he – you know, it's a tough deal to be – you know, I read who's going to be the first guy to play for the freshman. Everybody was talking about Isaiah. It's a tough deal to maybe get knocked off the block a little bit psychologically, but he came back from that and worked really good on our scout team. I just think – and then Natori has worked at it too, but – both those guys are going to be right there. Other linemen that are really coming on, all those guys that are here early, Mays and Erickson and Hill, just really in the thick of things. So our line right now is going to be a competitive situation. I mean, really good. I'm excited about the fact that you could redshirt two guys like that, and I made that analogy. Now, we'll see what happens. Defensively, a guy that nobody has given a shot at all, but who is a human rocket, is Stokes. Everybody just kind of said, hey, he's not going to be able to do anything. He didn't – and he really wasn't ready coming out of high school, and he didn't do – you know, it was behind. But he's really made some improvement here. His speed is very vivid, and he's not a washout player. I think he's really taken to the coach and the Mel Tucker, and he's really improved – dramatically from last year to this year, whether he'll be in the mix. But I was really surprised to see how good he's improved. You know, some other guys we'll talk about, but just the fact that, you know, you got those receivers. You know, Holloman's doing a heck of a job out there, and looks like he's going to be ready to go. And then, you know, Hunter, we hadn't heard a lot about Hunter at linebacker, but, you know, he's a legacy guy. His dad was a good player here, and, you know, he had a big burden on his shoulder coming in here with – but I really think he's made a tremendous improvement. You know, he and McBride both are going to really, really prosper from being around here and getting into this program. So those are just a few names that I got off the top of my hand without any notes.
I will say, to watching that inside linebacker position, I think it's going to be really fun because you got McBride, you got Hunter, you got Monty Rice. I mean, you've still got Natrez there. You've got I know I'm missing a couple guys in the mix, but you know, to see those guys kind of come in and give each other that competition, I think you're going to see some really good play out of those
guys.
And
the one thing I like about Natrez, and certainly had some difficult situations, and he brought a lot of it on himself. If he does do everything that's necessary to be back on the team, sometimes when you have something like that hit you in the face, then you realize what you've missed and what you've given up by doing something stupid, and you really become a guy that can make a difference in how you play and how your attitude affects the rest of the team, and telling these guys, look, I did something stupid here. Don't you do it, you know. So there's not going to be a lot of kudos for him right now, and they're not going to talk about him because he don't want to – but he's come out there and worked hard and kept his – you know, plate clean. He's ready to go. He'll be a big plus for us.
I want to say, too, real quick on Stokes. You touched on him. If you guys forgot about him, Eastside High School, kind of a track guy pretty much strictly in high school. Played some cornerback for Eastside, but was most known for his 100 speed. I mean, he was a guy who
– 10.31.
That's right. We were there at that track meet. I remember we were walking away from the track. I'll never forget it. We were walking away, getting ready to leave. And they said, in first place, Eric Stokes, 10.31. And both of us stopped and looked at each other, and we were like, who the hell's Eric Stokes? And, you know, if George is able to get something out of that young man, able to, you know, get him ready to play that cornerback position, with the numbers we're seeing from Tyson Campbell, with what he's doing in the 100 meters as well, you're talking about an influx of speed at that position.
Well, it's funny. We haven't done the story yet. I interviewed Stokes when we had an open period 2 months ago, and I have kind of a iconic picture of Nick Chubb running the 100 as a senior, and it's him jumping in the air, just warming up.
Yeah,
and he's so high in the air. The guy to his left – is Eric Stokes.
As a freshman.
What did Zamir run? What did he run?
10, oh, God.
10-4?
I think it was a 10-4-9, yeah. Something like that. I mean, it was impressive. So you – Eric Stokes.
Yeah, I just think that we hadn't heard really a lot. Hard. We've heard about what he can't do, and I just wanted to give him a little love here. But also, Jackson Harris probably going to jump in there at tight end and be like Blazevich, you know, a good blocker. He's really worked hard in the weight room. I just want to leave out some of these guys here. Simmons has done a good job, too, to go along with Holloman. Of course, we know Terry Godwin and Hardman are going to be there for us. And then, you know, the big tall kid had a pretty good spring. Some last fall. What was it? The tall receiver?
Landers.
And then, of course, Gaillard and Thomas are just doing great. And then Tyler Clark and Malik Herring inside. You know, both guys work hard, good weight room guys.
Going back to your question, I would have mentioned from the spring game, I expect to see Malik Herring's name get called a bit. Yeah.
And then I forgot to mention Crowder, too. So
Crowder. He was one I was mentioning. Yeah. I was thinking of as well.
So just making sure, and also Bishop at defensive back. So when you add those guys into the ones we got coming back, just a heck of a recruiting class and a heck of an off-season program. I think Sinclair has had a text out there or a tweet where he gave some guys some love on the off-season program too. But just a tremendous – you talked about seasons, and we always felt like every part of it's important. But what can you do between the bowl game and spring practice? Because everything's equal. Your time is the same as University of Florida, as Tennessee, everybody else. You got 8 hours a week to get better. and some times on your own too, you know. But what are you going to do with that? Because now you can do some massive weight training where you're not worried about anything about playing football. You just try to get bigger, stronger at your position. Some quickness drills, all that stuff. And you got to be ready to go. I mean, the thing here, we got so many good players. You better be ready. When you get your turn out there, you better make it happen with Kirby Smart.
Well, and you mentioned, too, I'm glad you mentioned the names Eric Stokes, Tyler Simmons, Tate Crowder, Trey Bishop. Those are some guys that people had written off, you know, to a degree.
Because they didn't start as freshmen.
Exactly. Oh, no. Right. But, you know, with a guy like Bishop, I mean, the athleticism was never a question for him. It was how quick was he going to pick up, being a defensive back. He played largely quarterback for his high school, as the great players do from a lot of their high schools.
I liked when we didn't know what was going to happen with Jake, you know, I liked watching some of that guy high school tape.
I
quarterback.
Agree.
He's not a great passer for sure, but I mean, you talk about somebody can run the Wildcat. I mean, he looked good in high school, and he's a good athlete. Now, I like the fact when you got those guys back in the secondary, like Sean Jones, played quarterback in high school for a good program at Westlake. You know what I mean? He's been in the battle. Same thing here. If you've been in a quarterback, you've had to make decisions. You've had to be around pressure deals where a lot of things were – and the same thing's true with the secondary now. You're back there in the same kind of situation, and he's going to develop there. He was not a defensive back first in high school.
Right.
He was playing quarterback more, and they're trying to protect him and all, but – athletically, man, he brings a lot to the table. And then, you know, speed. I mean, if speed walks in there right now, you'd say that guy looks like a defensive back now.
Yeah.
I mean, he just watches long, angular, can flop his hips, can do all that, can skate and read, man. I like that. We used to say skate and read, a little shuffle and read, you know, skate and read.
Kay Penley says, what about Mark Webb? What are you guys hearing on that? I've heard nothing but good things on Mark Webb. I think the fact that they moved as such a highly touted receiver, I know I've touched on this before, the fact that they took such a highly touted receiver, flipped him over there, and that became the permanent position, kind of tells you, I think, how well he kind of took to that.
Yeah, he was, and we, I hate to, I knew I'd leave some people out, but there's no question, he made some really strong moves in the fall with his ability to make that transition, and I think he's going to be a guy that plays here as a starter without question, you know, for several years.
Yeah, he. I remember talking to him after the SEC championship game, and he told me, I said, you know, how's the transition going? He said, well, they thought I could do it, and it's going pretty smooth, I guess. They left me there, so it seems like it's going okay.
Well, he actually played there, too. So
yeah,
yes,
he did.
He did. He got some action, didn't he?
He did.
You watch him in practice, though. He'll jump up there and cover those guys. I always like a guy when he's going against the other group. You know, I don't want a guy that kind of, well, hey, looks like Champ Bailey's getting ready to line up here at wide receiver. I'm going to back up a little bit, let the next guy in line, you know. That's the way our guys used to do when Kendrell Bell was in a linebacker drill. They'd see Kendrell's getting ready to hit, and guys would be shuffling to the back of the line, you know, because you don't want some guy to jack you up,
no,
man.
It's funny you say that.
But I like the way Webb competed, so go ahead.
We will talk about this when we go to a camp. We'll look at guys who steal reps. There are guys who are highly touted, you know, ton of offers. They come to a camp like the Rivals camp or the Nike camp or Under Armour, and they're there to get their gear, be seen, do an interview or two, and get the hell out.
ERW.
Exactly. But now, here's the thing. They don't have anything to prove. They already got all the offers in the world they want. You know, they probably know where they're going or they're committed somewhere. But they just want to show up for the gear and the accolades of everybody else. And we see
no play, no gear.
Yeah, we see three things happen. We see a guy just stands around, doesn't do anything. We see a guy, and this was one of my pet peeves, a great cornerback will wait until he sees the most mediocre, youngest wide receiver lineup, that he jumps out there, I got this, to pretend he's stealing reps, and then he takes on the worst receiver, knocks the ball away, puffs his chest out, and acts like a jackass. Then we see the guys who, and I go back to one camp, one dog night, where you saw a Marlo Herrera, Corey Moore, Sterling Bailey. A couple players were hungover. Well, I'm not going to bust you guys. Should have been drinking at age 17. But this camp, in one of the hottest days ever out at the soccer fields, those guys were stealing reps against some of the best players in the nation. And they had to basically tell Corey Moore to stop stealing the reps. Same with Sterling Bailey. Those guys were,
and
right,
I love
they were
that.
Dying. And we'll see a top player go out there, and you're like, this kid's got nothing to prove. He's already committed, and he's just – I don't even know if he's trying to get better. He's just that damn competitive that he can't stop. And I'm like, this kid, I'm going to keep an eye on him. And I didn't know a lot of those guys that well, you know – I mean, I was covering recruiting, but I wasn't as close to them as some of my recruiting writers were. But I kept an eye on them, and sure enough, all these guys are starters. All of them go to the NFL, and it's just because they're that hungry, you know, and they're not trying to get right. up. They're spending more time doing reps than worried about their Instagram following.
Exactly.
And that's the kids I want to see. So
David Pollock, when he came to our camp the week, 2 days before he went to Clemson's camp, and he hurt his hamstring, and he came over here, and I said, we're going to do all this testing. I said, David, you don't need to do any of this. We don't want you to get hurt and all that. And he said, Coach, I just got to do it. I got to show you. I said, you don't have to show me anything. And he finally said, okay, I won't. So then we started playing flag football out there, you know, everybody having fun and everything. And he's over there just chomping at the bit. He said, Coach, I got to go in. I got to show you what I can do. I mean, I said, come on, David. I said, you don't have to do that. He said, Coach, he said, I'm going to show you how tough I am. So he went out there and played flag football. And his hamstring is obviously – but the point is well taken there. A guy is a competitor.
It comes through.
And the other thing, you know, he wanted so badly to come to Georgia anyhow. He just wanted to be a part of it. And there, you can't beat that. I mean, seriously – I think that's what, for the fans out there that listen to our show, I think without question, the thing that's overwhelming for Kirby Smart right now is just the attitude that so many of these kids won't be a part of this and grew up like that. And it's a lot easier when you're winning on this level, but it's just a powerful G, man. It's a powerful G.
Well, when you have that SEC title game that was so exciting, and then you have that Rose Bowl win that everybody watched, and then you go into overtime in the national championship game, the questions about can you coach, how well the program's going, that is answered threefold. And then you're looking at the guys that were recruited, all the top players, you know, eight different five-stars or seven, however many was it?
Eight,
yeah.
Eight five-stars are going to Georgia. You're like, huh, good enough for them. So now, to me, when spring hits, now's the grunt work. All that stuff is great and a lot of fun, but these guys are going to be out there battling for spots. And it's going to be fun to watch. Well, we won't get to watch any of it, but we're going to watch G-Day game.
You can see some of it. But one of the things – I don't know what you're allowed to watch. Well,
right, individual drills. We're going to watch individual drills.
One of the things that's very vivid for every team is each one has to develop its own – chemistry, leadership, all that stuff, but it also it's work ethic. Some teams, you know, that are so talented, maybe you cut back a little bit during the week at some time because you don't need to, you know, take a chance. But some of them have to get better, you know, so you work them harder. So every team's going to build its own identity. So you can't compare practice this year to last year or vice versa, you know, because all of a sudden you got 31 guys darn on your team that were there that knew how to do it. So these guys got to understand that this team here is 0-0 right now, and hey, how are we going to establish ourselves and what are we going to do about it?
You know, I'll leave this because we should wrap up the show here, but I'll bring up one philosophy that we saw. You talk about some of the guys redshirting last year, you know, Natori Johnson, Isaiah Wilson. In years past, those guys would have had to start because you just didn't have anybody else, and the fact that you're able to redshirt them is big. And then the way Georgia in the past has approached fall camp. I remember Mark Richt had two different philosophies. One, we're not going to go head-to-head a whole lot because we want to try to get all the horses to the starting gates to be ready to go right off the bat because you suffer injuries during fall camp. And the one year that they cut back on a lot of the hitting and tackling to the ground, he just said he's halfway through the season because we're just not physical enough. We did not practice tackling to the ground enough. Another year, you know, they went all out and just had like I think it was like 11 different guys were banged up for the starter, you know, guys that you needed, not just, you know, way down the depth chart. I mean, 11 contributors. So you kind of have that, well, if you go really hard in practice, we're going to get too many guys hurt and we won't be ready to go. If we don't go hard enough, we won't be acclimated to it well enough. When you've got the roster like I think Georgia's going to have going into fall camp, you can be a little more aggressive.
So there's some strong depth.
Well, they got some rules, too, now that hurt you a little bit, too. I mean, you don't have two-a-days anymore. Yeah. You don't have certain things. But you do have walkthroughs, which I think are great for teaching. They really help you understand. It's like a clinic on the field. You know, it's like a blackboard chalk talk on the field where you're walking through your assignments and you got the time to visualize what you should do and what the opponent's doing. I think it's tremendous learning, and I've been fortunate to watch a lot of teams do that covering games, you know, for TV. And I'm going to tell you, you know, that's nobody does it better than Kirby. I'm telling you, he does it, man. It's unbelievable how good they teach at practice. They really do a good job.
Well, nobody does it better than you, Coach, and we're going to have to wrap up. How about
these sponsors?
Yeah, we're good. Let's shout out everybody one last time.
Well, shout out again, Academia, first and foremost, for being our newest sponsor.
It was good.
So, again, swing out behind the racetrack on Atlanta Highway next to the mall. The beer is great. The food is phenomenal. Of course, Champions, where we are every week. That's why I have this wonderful figure. But no, the food here is phenomenal. I'm taking the salad home if you reach for it.
You are?
Up. Yes, sir. That's mine. You can order something else. Josh will hook you up. Of course, swing over to Athens Ford. Like I said, they have two different leases under $400 and two different leases under $200. You have $14,000 off some of these vehicles. It's a ridiculous deals they have going on because it's truck month. And hopefully next week we will be out there. I need to swing by and make sure that we find a spot inside to do the show. Thanks to Your Pie tomorrow. And I see somebody's wearing a Your Pie pullover over there sitting down in the restaurant. So if you get a chance, tomorrow is Your Pie. It's Pie Day 3.14. So swing by there. All their pizzas are $3.14. Shout out to 365 Game Day. Get all your gear out there. We're going to try to do – and, hey, thanks to the 365 for shouting us out this morning about a saying get all your news.
I wondered when you were going to bring that
up. What did they say?
Yeah, I'll show you. last thing, don't forget to share this. This is your last opportunity to get the game.
What's the most shares we've had lately?
I think we got up to about 75 the other day. So, yeah, if you want a shot at these game-worn Rose Bowl Georgia gloves, make sure you share this, and make sure you give 11 Alive a thumbs up while you're there.
And if you want all the updates on the Georgia coaching search, swing by UGASports.com. It's 27 cents a day. You can't beat it. Heck, I mean
– you need to go up, man.
Well, about 80% of what we do is free anyway. It's just some of the more tantalizing tidbits are behind the paywall.
Cents a day, yeah. You can help feed a hungry man.
Hey, go up.
No, we're good.
Hey, supply meets demand.
Hey, it's been the same price for 20 years. So we have some 20-year subscribers, a lot of whom wound up getting a glossy 8x10 of the Notre Dame game in the mail. So that was a shout out to all our longtime subscribers. So thanks everybody for being a part of the show. Thanks to Europi, Athens Ford, 11 Alive, and Champies. And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.